Second Samuel chapter. We left off in chapter 8.
Really? You made it to 8?
Are they picking on you?
I believe they are. No, chapter 8. We left off at chapter 8. We actually ended chapter 8. And, because you guys weren't with us on the tape from last week, but what I do...
with the chapter 9.
Chapter 9? Yes, I'm sorry, it was. It was chapter 9. But before we keep going, I did want to... Because we've skipped so much time in Samuel, I wanted to just remind us of why we are even going back there, is to get a better understanding of... Frank asked the question, what about this 144,000? And even though that's future, it still deals with the nation Israel. But we're trying to find out now, if I mention 144,000, at least you have a reference. When I say it was 12,000 from each tribe, then we'll know that the 12 tribes started right here. Way back here. And progresses all the way through here. All the way through here. Skip that. And then it picks up right there. And then you see them actually enjoying what they were promised over here. I know you wondered how I was doing that.
No, I knew you had a laser pen, but saved you a lot of walking.
That's what. But that's when when you see the 12 tribes, 144,000, you should automatically think what?
Israel.
Or think who? Israel.
Getting close.
So.
Will Peter and the disciples be in it?
No. Well, yeah, they're Jews.
They will. He did promise them that they would sit on 12 thrones, yeah, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But I don't think they'll... I'm not sure. I couldn't. It would be speculation for me to say that. But we know that they will carry out that commission. And they call it the Great Commission. You know, at the end of Matthew, at the end of Mark, at the end of Luke, at the end of John, those Jews will carry out that commission. When they go to the Gentiles.
But the word Great Commission is not in the Bible.
Right. As commission
it's
isn't either.
Term.
I was saying commission isn't either, so.
That's
true. Chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Mm-hmm. We'll just kind of rehearse this a little bit here. Chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called on him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Messir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Messir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now, you do remember Saul, right? What do you remember about Saul?
He had a lot of wisdom.
He had that staff, boy.
He had that javelin.
He would let go of it.
He had that javelin. He's after David. So Saul was what? He was wicked. He was a king. He was a wicked prophet. King.
He was a prophet.
He was a prophet.
He was in rebellion.
He was in rebellion. What else, though?
He had more women than
is in the relationship to David? Where was his relationship to David?
His adversary.
He was adversary.
Well, he was David's king.
He was David's king. He was David's adversary.
Wasn't he David's father-in-law?
He was David's father-in-law, too. Yeah. But what I was thinking, where Lawrence said it, he was David's enemy, mm-hmm. his chief enemy.
Number one.
Right. David was like public enemy number one to David.
The I wanted list. He was right there.
And he did. He ran all of Saul's reign from so David ran from him. Did he not?
Yeah.
So when he dies, although he loved Jonathan, as his own soul, and he married Saul's daughter. So everybody loved David but Saul. Isn't that something?
Which is probably a big reason why Saul hated him.
Which it is, and we, if you remember that, he was popular.
He killed that giant.
He says in verse...
That's right, David has killed his 10,000. Saul has killed his 1,000.
Right. He says in verse 6, he says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, now you know Jonathan and David were close, and Jonathan made David promise him that he wouldn't forget him. And he didn't. That's why he calls him and he says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God to him? In verse 7, he says, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's sons may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Now that's a good example of the grace that God has showed to us.
That's so true.
And you couldn't, but the scripture said Mephibosheth was lame in his feet. Dead, he was dead weight. And when you think about your life, our lives, we're not that great. We may think so, but you think that the Lord can get along without us?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Jews, he says, don't say I'm Abraham's seed.
You can raise up these rocks.
I can do what?
Yeah, raise up all the rocks.
I can raise up these rocks to be Abraham's seed. So anything that we get, to think that you have the opportunity, number one, to open this up, look at it, and understand some of it. We don't understand all of it, but to understand some of it, and then to get a chance to go out and help someone else understand it. And I was talking to my wife one day, it was about, who said this? I was listening to, it was T.D. Jakes, he was on TV, and he was doing an interview, and I think they asked him, how would you classify your position? You know, because everybody says he's the world's greatest preacher, and he says, "How would you classify your position?" And it struck me. He said, He said, I'm just a beggar that found bread. And he said, not just that, he says, but I'm a beggar who found bread, and my job is to go out and tell everybody else where I found the bread. I thought that was, to me, I thought that was profound, because what? Who are we?
Nothing.
Who maketh us to differ from one from another? Or
what do you have that you did not receive?
What? It's all because of His grace. And we can look at ourselves and say, you know what, I got a bad lot. But I guarantee you that somebody somewhere would like to trade places with you. Somewhere. Do you believe that, Roy?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody somewhere would love to trade with us. With all our problems. And they said, I'll take that.
I got to share this. The gentleman I was just meeting with shared this, and it just struck me so profoundly, and it goes right along with what you were saying. He's got a ministry that collects up all the things from, like, medical companies and whatever, that pharmaceutical companies and stuff that they can just throw in the trash, and they bundle it up and they send it with missionaries, so that it's sort of like, you know, how can you preach the word, you know, if you're not attending to the immediate needs of health and food. And so he said this young doctor came back with this story about this woman who had come to the, had come to where they were doing the medical work. And he said there was this long line of people out the door. And the woman had two children with her. And she said, she looked like she had just come out of Dachau. I mean, just skin and bones. And so he said, you know, bring her some food. And so they gave her a bowl of food. She just sat there and wouldn't eat it. And he was getting all frustrated because he had so many people to attend to. So he got a translator in and find out why she wouldn't eat it. And the translator said she thinks that you want one of her children in trade for the food. Mm. And he said, no, tell her it's a gift. And he said, she doesn't know what that means. She has no idea what a gift means. No concept of what a gift is.
Wow. That's, isn't that something?
This was in Africa or somewhere. But, you know, she wouldn't take it because she thought that, you know, he had to want something.
Right.
And the only thing she had was her two children.
Isn't that something? Well, you know what? I won't say that's something, because there's people today who, in 2012, we don't know what a gift is.
Right. We have the most incredible gift. Most people just go about their day.
If God, He says this, the wages of sin is death. But the gift through Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
And He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the
gift of God.
It's the what?
Gift of God.
Not of works, lest
any man be
trusted. If it's by works, then it's not of grace. And if it's grace, then it's not of works. Otherwise,
grace is no more grace.
And work is no more work. So you tell a man, would you trust Christ? Would you trust Christ that the gift that He gave was His life, was His blood on the cross for you to take care of everything that's wrong with you?
Amen.
Not just everything today, everything. How much is everything?
Everything.
It's all.
If He said that He has forgiven us all trespasses, how many is all?
All.
It's everything.
What about yesterday?
All. It's everything.
What about last week?
All. It's everything.
What about tomorrow?
All. It's all.
Are you sure?
Sure.
If you believe.
If you believe. And you say, well, how do I get this?
I believe
in it.
And he says, this is a
gift.
Could you do that on your own?
No.
The scripture says, who can say that I made myself clean? Who can say that I washed myself and made myself pure from sin? Who can say that? And here's a man, he comes and he says, I'm going to give you this as a gift. A right standing with God as a gift. What could you say?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, now, is it God or is it Lord? It's Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God.
Same man. The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Who could make the payment? Who could give you the gift but God? Romans said this. He said, look at Romans chapter 3. Hold your hand in Samuel.
That's going to be heavy.
Romans chapter 3.
What's that?
You can't have some little. Work it out, man. That's right.
Romans 7.
Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we actually talked about this a little bit last week. 3:21. Now you think about Mephibosheth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mephibosheth, his name means
shame. Termination of shame.
Whatever it boils, the common denominator will be, this is a man with shame. Breathing shame, living in shame, having shame, shame.
Lodabar means barren.
Right. There's no fruit. No pasture. Pasture, you think of pasture, you think of something that's a place that's fertile.
Yeah.
That's productive. Well, here he says this. There's none righteous. No, not one. Mm-hmm.
Right?
This Romans 3. Well, that's 3. That was 3.
3.
That was 3:10. But I was going down to 21. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 20, or 19. 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Those two words are before who?
God.
The when I look at you, I might say, you know what? He's a pretty good guy. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't cuss. He's pretty good. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not what? But not before God. For God could look at Abraham and he would see nothing but sin. So he'll look at us. And you know what? I used to do this for the in the basement for the kids. You draw that. All right. What is that?
It's a mark that you're going to miss.
And I'll say, okay, Sharon, take your shot. Your righteousness right there. When I say, okay, Melissa, and Melissa takes her shot, and she says, well, I'm right there. And I go, et cetera, okay, Roy, Louise, I'll make you closer since I omitted you. When I'll say, you know, Misha, then I put me out here since I'm wicked.
But what about
Frank? But we can compare ourselves to each other,
mm-hmm,
and say, well, I'm better than you. Well, I'm better than you.
They all miss the mark.
But what does God demand?
Perfection.
He says, you have to hit this.
Mm-hmm. I never look at a bullseye the same.
you have to be perfect. You say, well, man, I got so close. If a man, if he, Paul said this, don't you hear the law? If one, if a man offend in one point, so that's why he talked about a performance. We are not under the law, but under
grace.
We're under the law says, okay, you missed it and you deserve punishment. If you want to try it on your own, then I'll pay you according to your efforts. And this, he doesn't look at this. He says, man, you're real close. He looks at it as that you're still a sinner. If you want to play that game, you're still a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. Now, he said, but the gift of God is. Now, if you want me to give it to you, I'll give it to you. And then he says, well, now, this, how do I get here? How do I get here? How do I get here? This is what God demands. How do I get here? And then he tells you. Look at Romans 3.
All right.
He says, 3:21, mm-hmm. But now, the righteousness of God without performance is made known.
Right.
Here it is, the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. How to be perfect without performing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, now it's made known. Well, how did he make it known? He says, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Who's the law?
Moses? Is that what you're looking for in your question?
He was witnessed by the law and the prophets.
David, I thought Moses was the law.
I'm writing the law and the prophets down. That's, I'm going down the line here. Actually, I got them out of order.
Yeah, that's what.
But anyway, we're gonna use those two because they're there.
They were.
Okay, because he's gonna use those two, and it says, "Witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by
faith of Jesus Christ."
Unto all and upon all them that somebody said that last week. Was that you? That was Annette that said it's unto all.
Oh, it was Sunday because I've listened to Sunday's message several times about the fact that it's unto all, it's available to everyone, but it's upon all
but
who
believe. Now,
yeah,
Paul,
Annette.
Yeah, Paul said this. He says, God is the Savior of how many?
Of the world.
Of all.
All right, hold your hand right there. Timothy.
He died for all. He's the Savior of those people. Of that.
How's that?
The right paraphrase?
First Timothy chapter, I believe it's chapter 4, chapter 2. Let's see.
The ransom for all. Verse
5. Verse 6. That's not, it was, I thought it was First Timothy. He says that God is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. Now, I don't know what, well, anyway, I couldn't find it. It would come back to me. But back to Romans. He says that it's unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Now, do you, you ever been somewhere and you walk in and they might have something in the sign and it says, take one free. Mm-hmm. And you might say, I really would like one of those. What's stopping you from getting it?
Thinking about how all them people had their hands in that dish already.
Whatever the reason is, but you may say, it may say, take one is free, but you may have a, you may run through your mind
somewhere.
You, it can't be that easy. You know, it was the You're right. You. I said, well, not me. Couldn't be for me.
Yeah.
This was on TV the other day. It was watching Oprah's life class, and I was watching Oprah, and they said the people came in and they sat down, and they said, she says, all these people they didn't have cars, they didn't have reliable cars. Yeah, I remember that one. And so the people came in and they says, well, she picked 11 people, and they thought they were getting cars, just those 11 people, and they were just so excited. And they were, they were, just in tears. And then she says, well, not just those people. She said, but you get a car. And you get a car. And you, everybody got a car. It was a gift. And I can see the faces of those people in there. You know what? They were looking around like, what's the catch? This can't be right. What do I have to do? All they did was what? They just showed up. It's something that she wanted to do. Now, if we believe the witness of men, finish the verse. If we believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. He says, this is something that I want to do. Didn't he say that? He says, according to the good pleasure of his own will. According to the good pleasure of his own will. He says, I set my son forth for you. To meet the mark for you. He who knew no sin, that we might be made
righteous of God in him.
Where? In him. He takes, he says, you take my place, I'll take your place. A substitute. A satisfying substitute. All right. 22. It says, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely. What is freely?
Freely.
No strings.
Take one.
Freely.
All right.
You mean I don't have to do anything?
If you did, it wouldn't be free.
Anything?
No, you have to believe.
You have to believe. That's not a work. That's not a...
that's a requirement.
It's right. It's a. He says, being justified freely by his
grace.
David said this. He says, is there any left that I might show the kindness of God? That's grace. It's the kindness of God. Not willing that any should perish. But he's long-suffering. Isn't he?
Yes.
That's why he says, come in while the invitation's... Come in while it's free. Come and partake while it's free. It's free. Mm-hmm. Freely. You know what? Without a price. Without a stipulation. No red tape. No fine print. You tell a man, you could be saved. You could be right with God right now. You don't have to wait till you get it worked out. Wait till your conscience is clear. He'll clear your conscience. He knows you're a sinner. like it's a revelation, Well, you don't know me, I'm bad. Really? It's like, I know me. And I know him.
There is a price. There is a cost.
He paid the price, right. Here's the price. Being just, 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a satisfying sacrifice through faith in what? His blood.
Amen.
The question was asked when the Lord was on earth. He says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, some say this, some say that. Right. And he said, well, what do you say? What do you say? And
our Christ, the Son of the Living God. Blessed are thou, Son.
But that's the question. That's the question of the hour.
Yeah. Who did you say?
He said, but it cannot be given. This is spoken by the Holy
Ghost. I
couldn't hear you.
You can only know this by the Holy Spirit.
Because they heard some things, you know. But the question that I would say for us is, what do you think?
Yeah.
Now, we could trust him. Do we have trust him for salvation, mm-hmm. for starters. But do we trust him like Roy, he says, my mind's right.
Yeah.
Because he trusts him. You know what? He doesn't think of the Lord as Santa Claus. That whatever he wants, he just gives. He didn't say it. And Melissa said earlier, she says, pray. We pray for everything. And I think you said he hears most of them. Some of them. And I said, no, he hears all of them. There's no, you have access with boldness.
Amen. Throne of grace.
You know, my grandfather used to have a drawer, and on that drawer, you know, the little, you just type out a letter, you can type out the stencil, and it's a sticky on the back of it, and you stick it on the back. And then if you get down there and try to open it up, you'll see that sticker on it. Mm-hmm. You know what that sticker said?
What is that?
Keep your cotton picking hands out. You don't go in there.
Okay.
But God doesn't have those kind of regulations against you.
All right.
What do you want to talk about? It's not like he doesn't know.
Amen.
He knows your thoughts. How far?
Yeah.
He knows your ups. He knows. So what is it that you're going to hide from him? All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So why not come in and say, Lord, I know you know. I just want to talk to you. And say, you know him like he don't know you rotten and undeserving. Of course you are. He just say, Lord, this is who I am. Like you know, and he says, tell you what, turn around, and just look at him.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him, because that's what I put out for you to look at.
Okay.
Not you.
Mm-hmm.
I put him there. Because in him is everything.
Everything. We are complete.
You're complete. What do you add to completion?
Nothing.
You know what? We sell, I'm going to use this, we sell bearings at our job. We call them full complement bearings. And what it is anybody, you know what a bearing? You know what a bearing is?
Ball bearings.
Yeah.
What makes the wheels go?
Right, that's it. I'm just going to use this as an example here. And what we do is you put the balls in there. There's an outer race and an inner race. And you put the balls in there. And this determines how much weight it can carry. It determines how fast it'll go. And it also determines how much it costs. Basically how effective it is. And most bearings, they they leave a space in there so it won't be too tight. Right. But they don't carry as much load. So you end up replacing them. And we take what we call a full complement bearing. And they jam another one in there where there's nothing else that can fit in there. There's no more space in there. And it takes a tremendous amount of load. And we call it a full complement bearing because the number of balls that you can put in there is complete. You can't add anything else to it. And like Christ says this, he said, you are
complete in him.
Complete in him. And he says, you can't add anything else to this. Anything you bring. He says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says, we've been baptized in him, circumcised in him, resurrected in him. He said, you're complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. And he says, don't let anybody rob you. Don't let anybody take what he has from you. Be right. Just don't let no man beguile you. Con man. He says, you just trust in Christ. That's it. You can't do that. He says, like the Galatians. He says, oh, foolish. Who'd you let pickpocket you? Who'd you let take your confidence, take your joy out away from trusting in Christ? And he says, you know he did it all, don't you? And they said, well, yeah, last week, yeah, we believe that last week. What about this week? He says, what happened? Who did bewitch you? He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, you didn't get this from Christ.
Amen.
Okay, back to Samuel. Cover some ground, maybe. So, yeah, we can see that when he talked about the kindness of God, that he would show the kindness of God to Mephibosheth. That's where you think about, you know, it's not just, you talk about the Old Testament, you know, it's boring, but there's great lessons back there. And it's up to us to go and dig those out, work in the minefield. And the Lord said, the whatsoever things were written aforetime. So you see why was David gracious to Mephibosheth? You know why he could do that? Because he experienced grace himself.
Yeah.
You know what? I was talking to a guy today. You know what makes a man gracious? It's because he experienced it.
Okay. Yeah.
He's experienced it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Gotcha. The reason you have a short fuse, the reason you can't tolerate a person, is because you're not gracious. Because you're not appreciating the grace that has been shown to you. See, why would I put you on a performance when God didn't put me on a performance?
Put a yoke upon them that we nor our fathers could bear.
Why? A yoke is our yoke is hard.
Yes.
Our burden is heavy. But he says, take my yoke. It's easy.
And my burden is light.
The law was by Moses. But grace and truth came by
Jesus Christ.
He said, but under the law, they died without mercy. How many people do you think when the Lord showed up on earth, how many think deserved to die?
All.
All. How many did he execute?
None.
Zero. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How many died under Moses? You can count the thousands. Under Moses. The thousands.
one day 3,000.
And the Lord said, he said, stand back. He says, I can wipe them all out. Did they deserve it?
Yes.
But even back then, God, he says, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 10. Okay. What's that?
Did we finish reading verses 12 and 13 of chapter 9?
Go ahead. You can read it.
What is his big word name? Nahu?
Mephibosheth. Oh, I thought you were in Romans. I thought you said Romans.
No, we didn't finish these two verses.
Okay. 8 and 9?
12 and 13.
Okay. And, okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 9. He says that Mephibosheth would eat at my table as one of the king's sons, verse 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. And then the Lord puts that little reminder. And he was what?
Lame.
On both his feet. And you could say, and I blessed Lawrence with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and he was undeserving. And he didn't earn it. Or we can inject our name in there. Because what we got is a gift. It's a gift. Chapter 10.
Yes.
And it came to pass that after this, that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came to the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Now these people are trying to, David is genuine in his response. He wants to show these people kindness, and here's the people of the city that said, don't trust him. He's going, all he wants to do is get close enough to kill you. Now think about it. The Lord had just given David rest from all his enemies. Don't you think he could take it if he wanted it? If he wanted to take that city, he could take it. He could.
It was his.
It was his. It was no problem. Now we're not going to cover every verse. So this is something that you can read in your own time, because I do want to try to cover a little bit more ground. Verse 17. And when it was told David, he gathered together the people who actually went up against David. And when it was told David, he gathered to all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Sobach, the captain of their hosts, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadadrezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. So it ends up that David, like Frank said, it was his. And that is a... We talk about grace. David says, I want to show you grace. And he says, I don't think so. And he says, okay, well, you don't want grace? Guess what? I'll give you what you want. And he took, listen, one day the Lord, he's hands stretched out, grace. Corinthians, he says, Paul said, I beseech you that you receive not his grace in vain. He says, today, now.
Is the day of salvation.
Today is the day. Right.
Oh.
I mean, it's Same thing. Today is the day of salvation. He says, I hear you now. Why wait? Because the day is coming where the grace offer will be over. It could be tomorrow. I will say it like this. It's not just a salvation thing either. It's our problems that we have.
Everything.
It's the hang-ups that we have. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you look at it and like the man laying at the pool of Bethesda. And he sat there and he's just wallowing. He's just waiting. Waiting. And it's and the Lord just comes up and he says, what did he say?
Do you want to be
healed? Do you want to be healed? I know you're going to church. I know you're going to Bible class. I know you read. I know you sing. You pray. But do you want to be delivered? Or is this just an activity? Do you want this? And he says, wilt thou be made whole? And you know what he started doing? Lord, you know. All excuses.
All the people push me out of the way. I can't get in.
He could have rolled over in there. Right, he could have just, you know, got up on the edge and flipped on in there. Listen, I think about it all the time. Myself is, and we know the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. We know that. We know you won't drop everything in this lifetime. But do you want it? Paul said this. We are perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's what we're working towards. Is you want to be evil all your saved life? I'm not talking about lost people, but I'm talking to saved people, right? Mm-hmm. Do you want to stay in the same state all your saved life? Do you even want more?
Get off that bottle.
Do you want? Right. Do you want to taste some meat? That's
because if you really believe it, you gotta want it.
Amen.
And the more you get, the more you want.
You know, I sit there. You have to want it before what?
Before you believe it. You have to want it.
You got to see there's something more.
Yeah. Yeah, there's obviously something more from the time you're born other than a pen and a diaper. But, you know, when you get up to the point where you can start counting and reading and writing, there's something there. There's a hollow.
Right.
But if you believe from a child and you want to believe, you got to want to believe because a lot of kids, what they grow up in, their family believes in nothing, you know.
Well, and that's the importance of the gospel is to, you know, you show there's something more. There's something else. There's something else besides the way that we've been taught. There's something else about the vanity of our mind that says this is where it is. There's something else besides the course of this world. And then when you look up and you say, I'm not happy.
If you look at that circle right there, where you erased,
mm-hmm.
It's like an eye, a nose, a little bit of some lips. Look like you're looking right at you. Do you see that, or do I just see that?
That's okay. You can whatever you see, Frank.
That lady with the.
But that's what the Lord is saying. Is all he's offering is deliverance.
Amen.
That's what he's offering. And we'll pick it up in 11 since we there's no way to
hey, we're in nowhere
get back.
We're fine. I have to tell you a story this morning. I know you fixed to pray. But I'm listening to a guy on the radio, and he's talking about a letter he had written about his son. I don't know if anybody heard this. But he's talking about how the kid is...